I'm sure it'll be fine. Just do it like you do it in Saint Germain. Okay? Well, ancient fossil emojis have been found in a cave in China. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Give me
Wisconsin
more Arnold.
Public Radio.
Give me more Arnold.
PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulane on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike
the
Arnold.
Applause like?
I'm Mike, I don't know. Anyway, in this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome filmmaker and author Paul Fisher, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Why did I say that? Anyway, support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the winner of the Mr. Peabody and His Boy Sherman Award, Michael Feldman.
Oh, I got a little something in my throat. Look at that award you were talking about.
Yeah.
Peabody Award is very big in public broadcasting.
But yeah, the Mr. Peabody Award, though, is
not
very
the
different.
Mr. Peabody
it's
Award
very
so
different.
Much.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
only special people get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really more of a Boy Sherman Award than a Mr. Peabody Award. Sherman deserves it. So this is Michael Arnold, ladies and gentlemen, who is announcing for us since Bitsy left us unexpectedly. 2 weeks' notice. That's all I'm saying. I miss her, I expect, because you don't wear those heels like she did, I'll tell you that.
No, I forgot to wear them today.
You still look good.
You wore your flats, though, huh?
Yeah, I decided to go with flats.
Flats is good.
Yeah, sometimes that's better on a day like today.
And what is a day like today?
It's sunny outside, I guess. I don't know. Don't want to cast too long of a shadow, you know?
Well, if you're at all like me, when you wear the high heels, you keep them in your bag till you get to work, and you go to work in tennis shoes.
Yeah, I typically switch into some sneakers.
Sneakers.
Yeah.
They don't call them tennis shoes. I mean, sneakers.
Tennis shoes.
Yeah,
tennis shoes.
But high heel sneakers, that would be the ticket.
Well, that's an idea. Yeah,
a little
that's
richer,
a good
warm.
Idea. I'll
okay,
do that.
Excuse me. I just got something in my throat there. Anyway, well, welcome. We got people here from Saint Germain. A special hi, hello, and where are you from, or where the heck is that? Come to Saint Germain. We got the whole. What do you call yourselves again? The
Prime
Timers. The who?
Prime Timers.
John Priners. The Primers. Why are you showing your chest to me? God, they are a fun group. Oh, it's written on there? Whoa, it's written. Okay, it's in big letters. I can see that. Prime somethings from Saint Germain. Prime timers. And do we have Joe Pug fans? Joe Pug fans. Same group. Isn't that amazing? He skews to an older audience. Yeah. Joe Pug. Amazing. He'll be here later in the show. But first, let's get this humor out of the way. Yeah. We haven't already. Okay, it is believed that the White House computers were hacked by the Chinese because a half hour later, you feel like hacking again. Okay, don't do that. Wait a second, I got no ink in my pen. That's what she said. Okay, all right. What is this now? Oh, okay. A butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazon and Ron Paul declares for the presidency. Jeb Bush dice se convirtió al hispano por Colomba. Anyhow, in English, not of the English side of the ledger here, on the upside of the California drought, Californians don't drink the water. So, really not a problem. And Hollywood can make rain, so I don't see what the problem is, you know. Plus, when California falls into the sea, they'll have all the water they want. When the Okies throw Granny back in the rocker in the back of the pickup and head home, start to worry. Page two. Bovine growth hormone. Everyone's talking about it. Bovine growth hormone found in some mother's milk. The FDA says, know the breast, and you should be okay. The Brontosaurus is back, but longer and with fins, so that's cool. NASA says we're on the verge of finding an Earth-like planet with un-Earth-like people. Okay, all right, so they didn't say that. Caught me. Departments in the state of Wisconsin are forbidden to use the phrase climate change, but may say, if you don't like the weather, wait a day. That's the Wisconsin way of saying climate change. The breakthrough Apple Watch puts 20 panic buttons on your wrist and then measures your heartbeat. Thank you, Mike. I think we'll keep you. The NFL hires its first female official, so there'll be no need to review her calls. Pick up that flag. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being brave enough to applaud that. For the last brick in his legislative edifice, Governor President Walker. Excuse me. Wait a minute. You didn't hear what he did. This is a good one. Okays liquor samples at stores. So that every badger might know what the stuff tastes like. The fear, of course, is that at a third of a shot per sample at each store you head to could cause a rash of near-drunk driving in Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton announces her candidacy on a deleted email. They could recover those, though, I think. Turns out being overweight cuts dementia risk, so try to remember to stuff yourself. I'm going to try. Iran agrees to peaceful use of nuclear weapons. The centrifuges will be used to weave carpets, so it's just it's a very slight adjustment. You'd be surprised. Okay, I don't know. And plus, they have a supreme leader. That's kind of weird, though, you know. Because the only supreme leader I recognize is Diana Ross. You're very good. If we could duplicate you and put you in the audience, not up here Sorry. So much, but no. I like it's amazing getting I'll a response from someone. Okay. No, go ahead. Just sneeze off the mic. Where was I? Oh, yes, the organic molecules discovered in a different star system are twice as expensive as processed molecules. And how do you know they're really organic? You know what I'm saying? Molecules. Oh, and President Governor Walker is off on a field trip to three pretty cool countries in Europe, Spain, France, and Germany. So, he spent the past 6 weeks having to bone up on how to say, have to punt on that one in three different languages. Wait a minute. I got him. Tengo que despejar que uno. Ich muss das Mann auf Punt. Je ai de beauté de gagement sur celui-là. Have to punt on that one. He doesn't do it any better, trust me on that. And now, with the first of our five reasons for doing anything, our very own Mike Arnold here is here with these five reasons for your benefit.
Yes, five reasons you should buy the Apple Watch. Have you heard about the Apple Watch?
Yes.
Applaud if you've heard about the
Hasn't reached St. Germain yet.
Because apparently these are five reasons you should buy one. The number one is you own Apple stock. That's a good reason to buy an Apple Watch.
Just read it, Mike.
Okay. Sorry. Number two, the suicide scar on your wrist. It's a good way to cover that up, I guess.
Don't explain them. No. If they don't work, just let them drop.
I'm sorry. Just let them drop.
You'll get used to that feeling.
Okay. Just let them drop. Okay. You never wear a watch.
Start again. Will you? Five reasons and then one.
Five reasons. Back. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not doing my job.
No,
well. You own Apple stock. The suicide scar on your wrist.
You can say one, two. And
I'm sorry. Three. You never wear a watch, but this is different. Number four, muggers won't take it. And number five, the available Rolex app.
There you have it. Five reasons to buy the Apple Watch. Thank you, Mike Arnold. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much. All you got to say is one, two, three. You know, Mike is not actually an announcer. He is, what do you are, a COO or a CEO?
I don't have a title like that. I'm the director of content.
Oh, boy. We have content now? What happened? Yeah.
But you say that I'm the director of discontent, so, right?
I don't say that very much. I said that, might have said that once, and that was just
once or twice
to you.
Yeah. Now everybody knows.
So it's like having a suit, you know, working with a suit.
I prefer to think of myself as a sport jacket, myself.
Yeah. What do you call that that you got on there?
I guess the sport jacket.
Oh, really? What kind of sport would that be exactly? Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. Now, it's a good segue to a Kim Jong-il production by Paul Fisher, a book that's just out. You know, you'd like to know more about North Korea, and you can't seem to get at it. And this is... This doesn't help, I'll tell you the truth. It's a fascinating book. It's a great story of a film director and a leading actress of South Korea at the time who were kidnapped by Kim Jong-il and North Koreans so they could improve the North Korean film industry because he was a film buff. And well, I'll let Paul Fisher tell you more about it. He's in New York City right now. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Yeah, are you on a book tour now for this?
I have been just sort of finishing up, and then I go to Europe next week because it's coming out there in different languages.
Yeah, different languages. Were you able to get into Pyongyang and to research this?
I was, yeah. I spent about a week there under the guise. I'm a filmmaker by day, so under the guise that I wanted to kind of see their filmmaking facilities in case I wanted to make a film with them or suggest to make a film with them.
Uh-huh. Was that your first trip?
It was, yeah. Yeah. I don't think they'd let me in anymore, or if they would, they wouldn't let me out after.
Yeah. You're a director and a film producer yourself, but were you familiar with the North Korean film program?
I wasn't, no. I haven't made a film in a long time, and when they used to make them, they were really, really bad.
Yeah.
So there's no real reason to watch them unless you're, you know, writing about it out of specific interest.
Yeah. You're kind of drifting in and out on us. Can you hold your head out the window there in your New York high rise?
Yes.
Just stick your head right out the window and have someone hold your ankles. It shouldn't be a problem. Are you still there?
Yeah, here.
I thought I'd hear you going. Whoa! Okay. Anyway, all right, and so this story is rather amazing, and it's all true. And does the story come from their memoirs itself, or how did you piece it all together?
Their memoir was the main bit, and then there's a bunch of accounts of people who were around at the time, who were involved with Kim Jong-il at the time, who might have been in the same places, same rooms, and you can kind of piece it together from all these different, you know, eyewitness accounts, pictures, maps, all that kind of stuff. So that was the process.
Yeah. So Kim Jong-il, who was like the second of the Kims, his father was Sung,
yeah.
Right? And it was the great leader, whatever, and then he's the son, and he started to make his name. He started making movies, but he was also obsessed with Western films.
He was, yeah. His favorite films were, you know, James Bond films, Friday the 13th, Rambo. he was obsessed with, you know, kind of blockbustery American 80s films. Yeah. And there's a feeling that's the films he wanted to make, but as a dictator in a communist country, you can't really. So that was his dilemma, and that's why he kidnapped these two filmmakers, because he thought they would kind of enable him to do stuff that was a bit outside of the usual propaganda.
Yeah. So his two things were what? Kidnappings and filmmaking?
Yeah, pretty much. Any kind of terrorism. You know, kidnapping, hijacking planes, trying to assassinate people.
And making movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's another way of terrorizing people, depending upon what film you make. Some of the films actually were good that he...
The films that the couple who were kidnapped made were quite good. And then, you know, the ones Kim Jong-il himself made with other North Korean filmmakers before them, you know, they were big and loud. They were, you know, the North Korean equivalent of a Michael Bay movie. They were big and violent and schmaltzy. that was his taste.
Uh-huh. And then, but did he actually, in any of it, did he actually do directing or he was, because I, you know, did you see that movie, the Vice thing, I mean, on TV?
I did, yeah.
And he said he went there to he got into the studio, which actually was a museum.
Right.
And not really a studio at all. But and they have a big Sea of Blood mural there, which is one of the movies he supposedly produced, right? The big one.
That's right, yeah. And the mural has him kind of standing on the hill overlooking this big battle scene being shot.
Yeah. And with actual blood, you know, I mean, this is, they really can make a movie, I'll tell you that. And the woman there, the guide, said that he gave 11,890 guidances during the course of the movie.
Right.
Visiting
a guidance,
this, yeah.
A guidance means anytime he turned up. So that basically means he turned up on set,
yeah.
You know, 11,000 times.
Yeah.
And because it's a communist country, they never kind of, you know, end credits in a film, they never had those because they wanted to give the impression that everything was kind of collectively, spontaneously created. So it's hard to tell if he ever directed, but the people kind of involved in films say he was there all the time and he micromanaged everything. You know, he was with the writers and he was on set and he did all the stuff that we would associate with directing and producing.
Did he do a walk-on? You ever do a walk-on like Hitchcock?
He never did. There was only one film where they had an actor portray one of the Kims, and allegedly they found an unknown, given plastic surgery, so he'd look like the Kim, but then they sent him off to a prison camp so he wouldn't be able to act in any other film ever again. Because that's how seriously they took their kind of own image.
Always a catch. So we, you know, it's kind of amazing. North Korea doesn't make sense according to any other terms other than its own.
Sorry, what's that?
I say North Korea doesn't make sense in any other terms other than its own. For example, all these things that they produce, they'll do these great spectacles, but they won't have an audience for them. It's just to be doing the spectacle. There's right?
Right. Yeah, they're sort of spectacles for the sake of spectacle. They're in this weird kind of cycle where, you know, North Korea was created at a time where the Korea was split in two and they were trying to make the point that there was a more legitimate Korea. And now everyone knows that they're not and they're a failing state. So they have this sort of, the whole state exists as a show, as a performance to kind of give the illusion of a state that should still exist even though it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that involves them kind of getting caught in these, you know, kind of paradoxical schizophrenic lapses of reality.
Yeah, but the movies were something different. They started as a propaganda tool, but it was more than that because he was such a film buff, right? He was such a film buff.
Right, and so it became, you know, the main cultural propaganda tool. It was something where people had to go to the movies. It was compulsory. They had to have conversations about them. They told people in real life to be like the characters they saw in the film. And the whole kind of narrative in North Korea that the people think of as reality was really kind of inculcated through movies, you know, and he kind of wanted to use the movies as a tool to build, you know, this utopia that he was trying to sell to the people.
But that doesn't explain, like, their Godzilla movie.
No, the Godzilla thing was money, really. You know, but in, there's this, you know, for people who don't know, the last movie the kidnapped couple made in North Korea was a Godzilla ripoff, essentially about a communist monster who joins in with the peasants to get rid of an evil landlord. And that was really, you know, the Godzilla films were doing very well in Japan. North Korea at that time was out of money, and Kim Jong-il wanted to find any way he could make money. And a lot of evidence indicates he just thought, oh, yeah, the monster movies make money. We'll make one of those. And that was the motivation, you know, for him to try and make something that could, you know, people would watch abroad and love, and that he'd have his own little pet franchise.
Yeah. And could he not attract actors or directors without kidnapping them?
Well, he thought that he couldn't. He was sort of in a position where, because of the cult of personality, he didn't feel he could tell his own people that there were others in the world more qualified than him. Because, you know, in his mind, that meant, you know, telling the believers that there was someone more divine than God somewhere. So he couldn't admit that. And at the same time, he didn't want to bring anybody else from abroad voluntarily because that would be sort of conceding that people elsewhere make things better than him and so on. So what he needed was two Koreans that he could sort of repatriate forcibly. And the couple he kidnapped were South Korean, and so he was able to claim that, you know, they're Korean, they're North Koreans, they were ours all along.
Yeah. So it's Shin and Madam Choi.
Right.
And he was the director, and he was a pretty well-known director in South Korea?
He was, yeah, all through Asia, and very well-respected in the world. There was a very respected French film magazine in the 70s that listed him as one of the most sophisticated, influential filmmakers in the world. And having been kidnapped and disappearing off the face of the earth for so long kind of made us forget him a little bit. But he made very sophisticated films in the 1960s, and he also had the first you know, kind of Hollywood-style studio in Asia with, you know, actors on contract and stages and backlots. A very big guy and very glamorous. You know, she was a famous actress. They were married. They were kind of like the Orson Welles and Rita Hayworth of Asia at that time.
Yeah. And Madame Choi was like a leading actress in South Korea.
Yeah, leading actress. She made more money than him. She was hugely famous. She'd been involved in some huge scandals. She was one of the first women to direct films in South Korea. She was the first fashion model in South Korea.
Oh, yeah. She was pictured with Marilyn Monroe in that picture that you have. She was on that level in Korea as Marilyn Monroe.
She was, yeah. People called her the Elizabeth Taylor of Asia. People called her the most beautiful woman in Asia. You know, she had that kind of demeanor and class and recognition.
Yeah. And didn't Kim Jong-il, wasn't Elizabeth Taylor one of his favorites as well?
She was, yeah. He would tell people that Sean Connery was his favorite actor, which I guess is a James Bond thing, and Elizabeth Taylor was his favorite actress.
Yeah. So, but he didn't think of kidnapping them.
No, see, because of the racial politics, they had to be Korean, because otherwise, you know, in the kind of politics of Korea, that would have been conceding that another race, as they saw it, was better and, you know, at anything than them, and they can't admit that in the official line.
All right. So, and kidnapping was a cottage industry for North Korea, right? I mean, they had a regular thing. They throw a body bag over you someplace where you don't expect them to be, taking a little dinghy out to a boat that's waiting in the harbor, and you're gone.
Pretty much, yeah. That was the modus operandi. And for about a decade and a half, they did that to, you know, arguably hundreds of people. Some of them, like this couple, were targeted, and others, you know, were just walking along a beach in Japan alone, just at the wrong time, wrong place. And they would be taken. And most commonly, those people would then be taken to, this sounds like the plot of a bad movie, but we'd be taken to a spy school. Where they would be used as examples for North Korean spies of this is how a real Japanese person speaks and behaves, and this is how a real South Korean person, Chinese person. You know, and it happened a lot, and at the time no one believed it. It was kind of a boogeyman story. Mm-hmm. You know, so families didn't know what had happened to family members who just disappeared one day.
Okay. So in this case, they kidnapped these two famous individuals from the South, bring them to North Korea, but he ends up in one horrible prison after another. She's in various places that are nice or something, but she's not. They're really not allowed to do anything. They have to be. Are they waiting for them to be indoctrinated, or what was the deal?
I think the plan was to put them both separately. You know, the way she'd been kept in luxury in a villa, kind of wear them down until they agreed to cooperate. Shin, the filmmaker, kind of made the key mistake of trying to escape twice instead of being grateful for having been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And so as punishment, he was sent to increasingly worsening prison camps until, you know, after 5 years, he kind of realized, yeah, okay, I need to play along if I'm going to try and find an opportunity to get out. And he started playing along, and that's when they were finally reunited and put to work.
Yeah. His escape is attempted escape when he stole the car and got on a train and thought he had escaped. It's sort of like The Prisoner, isn't it?
It is a bit, and the fascinating thing about him was he was someone who was very aware that as a filmmaker, he saw everything in his life as a movie. And in his interviews and memoirs, he talks about being in this harrowing real-life experience, but at the same time in his head, all he can think of is The Fugitive, the TV show, because they had that in Korea at the time. And all he can think of is, how can I make this into a movie scene?
So
everything has this weird, different layered bit of real and not real and kind of imagined, because they were all such obsessives about film.
Yeah. So it was a lesson in surrealism, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So he's in this prison camp six. Was that the worst one? Something like
that. Was the worst one, yeah. Prison camp six. They don't have official names for the prisons in North Korea, so they're just numbered. And that was something that it's the second to worst type of prison camp in Korea, and they call them enlightenment centers, in which they claim that people volunteer to come because of guilty consciences.
Yeah.
To reform themselves, like a rehab. So anyway, he was there for a couple of years, and essentially, you know, they would starve you, force you to sit still all day, and if you moved a muscle, you'd get beaten.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't leave the cell. That was the kind of torture he was putting through.
Yeah. Is that where he escaped from? That was an earlier thing, right?
That was an earlier thing. So he was put in a villa, and then he stole a chauffeur's car in the middle of the night and tried to escape, and that failed. So he was put in a kind of, you know, jail cell, you know, the equivalent of a county jail cell for a couple of weeks, let back out again. He tried to escape again, and then they put him in the more serious camp.
Yeah. That escape is the most cinematic part of the book, don't you think? I mean, that's definitely going to be in the movie, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah, it's one of the things where I was really grateful when I was double-checking it that everything checked out and that I couldn't put my finger on anything that seemed obviously made up or exaggerated.
Yeah.
You know, and everything fits maps and geography. And you know, he came really, really close in that instance.
Yeah, except he didn't really account for the prevailing mentality. Where nothing is what it seems.
Exactly. But his second escape attempt, you know, by comparison, was terrible. And, you know, it was kind of doomed to fail from the start, whereas the first one was actually a good plan that almost worked.
Yeah. That's like that guy who was lost at sea for all those months just recently. He said it was unbelievable how many things went wrong.
Exactly.
It was great. Because the car, he was in this building, he couldn't go in or leave by himself anywhere, whatever. But it was living okay, but couldn't go anywhere. And but the chauffeur's car, and they all drove these, what, Mercedes? Right.
Right. Yeah.
That was the official car of North Korea, and only very few people had them. And the guy left the keys in the car because who's going to steal a car in North Korea? Because there's so few cars on the road. It's obvious, you know, that it's not your car. So he went in there and got it. It all seemed really easy, and he drove as far as he could, and then he got on this train, and he thought this is working out perfectly. And they were watching him the entire way, and pulled him off the train just before he got to China. That's going to be a good scene. Are you going to direct that yourself?
I don't know that anybody would let us make that film.
Really?
It'd be fun to make. Yeah,
that'd
just,
be a great
you know,
film. I think it'd be terrific.
It's a big film. It's an expensive film because it kind of ironically costs money to recreate a bankrupt state.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got three. You've got three Asian leads. You know, two of which are in their 50s, and the other one's a psychopathic midget. You can't really cast Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
That's true.
It's hard to raise money.
You're right.
We'll see.
That's the downside. No Cumberbatch. Got to be someone we can tie to this. Okay, that's really amazing. I think it should be a movie. Anyhow, maybe the North Koreans would be interested in it. Maybe Kim Jong-un, you know, as a property. I'm not saying, you know.
We'll pitch it. See what happens.
Yeah, pitch it to him. I want to hear it. And that happens. Well, the book is great, and it's called A Kim Jong-il Production. Paul Fisher is the author, and thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Have a good weekend.
Pleasure. You too. Paul Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. Fascinating book. I think you will like it. I'll leave it here in case you want it. Just take it. Anytime. Well, take it. Okay, then there.
Wow. Scary.
What?
North Korea.
Oh, North Korea. You're still talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, everything. It's scary here, too.
It's very scary. Without Bitsy, huh? I keep looking.
Oh, Mike.
Little Bitsy.
He was...
2 weeks' notice.
It's like a girlfriend giving you 2 weeks' notice. What the heck is that? What do you mean you're giving me 2 weeks' notice?
It's not you.
We're going to get a place together.
Did she say that to you? It's not you, it's me?
No, she would never say that. That's one thing I'll say. I don't think she would ever say that. Okay. But she's doing well in New York,
yeah.
For sure. So, okay. So, and how are you?
I'm good.
You're not giving 2 weeks' notice, are you?
No, no.
In 30 years, you've never given 2 weeks' notice.
No.
That's what I appreciate.
I think in 30 years, I've missed three shows.
You did that, man?
Yeah, two I were out of there.
You're applauding the three that he missed? That's a little unusual.
Two, I was out of the country, and one was my father.
You were dead drunk. Oh, your father died. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the other two, I was like touring in somewhere,
yeah.
Japan and Germany.
So. Even when you were getting married, you did the show, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to stop me.
That sets a bad precedent. Not a bad precedent.
Yeah.
Bad precedent
yes.
For the... marriage.
And you're just willy-nilly taking off for anything.
Exactly. And Jeff, you've missed very few yourself.
That is correct.
Well, he's missed a few early on. He had other fish.
What's
to
the echo? Why is there an echo on Jeff today?
Well.
Say some more stuff. Sounds cool.
More stuff.
Do not adjust your vertical. Say that.
Do not adjust your vertical.
Do not adjust your horizontal.
Do not adjust your horizontal.
We can make your screen very big or shrink it to the size of a micro dot. Don't do that with your shoulders, though. That affects the tone. Okay, what's this number going to be?
This is an old Harold Arlen tune called I Got the World on a String.
Sounds great. Toys in the Band. John and Jeff.
Thank you.
Once again, it's
that.
Michael Feldman.
See, that's why you come to the show. You don't hear this stuff at home or see it, even worse. Okay, I'm pretty good. How are you? All right? Are we? Is this a fun trip?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
What have you done that's been really spectacularly fun?
Yesterday, we went to the Trek Bicycle Factory.
Ooh.
And we saw the museums, the natural history and the other one.
Yeah, and the other one. They should have a museum called the other one for things that don't fit in any other museum, you know. Things that don't, they don't have like a category or, you know, like old shoes or something like that. Or what?
The Veterans Museum.
Veterans Museum, yes. Oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Okay. And so this is a regular thing that you do?
We
trips?
We try.
Travel all the time.
We travel all the time.
We do?
With the same people?
Washington, D.C. in September.
Why? What's there?
More Capitol buildings.
How many Meshuggah buildings? I don't know if you have that word in St. Germain. Probably not. How many Meshuggah buildings can you walk into and say, nice marble? You know,
no.
They're nice, and I like columns. I know there are three kinds of columns. There's the Doric, the Ionic, and the Corinthians. Right?
Yes.
And I've seen enough columns. That's why I've never gone to Rome. How many columns can you look at? Really? Even if they're falling over like this, it's kind of cool, but what?
Two kinds of columns, square and round.
That's from like a 60s song, isn't it? That's one of the lyrics from Over, Under, Sideways, Down.
Yeah.
Backwards, forwards, square and round.
That's all I know.
I had just a flashback here. That was really cool. Now what? See it? My hand is a trail. Whoa, look at that. Pretty amazing. What did you do during the 60s?
I grew up.
You grew up?
I grew up.
Just a kid?
I was very shy and retiring.
You were retired even in the, as a child?
No, I
first retired as a child?
No, I was retiring. I was practicing.
In the process of retiring.
No, now I did it.
So you weren't part of the me now generation 60s happening?
I grew up then, but I wasn't like that. I was.
Seemed like you would have been.
I was very shy.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to be shy, because you were in your thing, up your inner thing.
Now I'm into this thing. Here, well, this thing.
That's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Okay. And your name is?
Sherry. Karis.
Betty. Silkworth.
Okay. Didn't know if you want to say the last name, right? And you are?
Karen Wagoner.
Representing the Primetimers from St. Germain, ladies and gentlemen. How about a bottle of wine for each bus? Right?
I guess so.
They're not driving.
Okay. Well,
who's
welcome.
Who's driving the bus? Oh, you're driving the bus?
Yes, I am.
You can smell the cork.
Well, they can enhance.
Or you can get a third if they stop at a mall there. You get a third of a shot.
Sounds like a fair trade.
Okay. That's a long drive, isn't it?
So yeah. they can enhance their quality of life with award-winning wines Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim Winery.
How about one Domaine du Sac and one Prairie Fumé?
Sounds like a deal to me, yeah.
That means smelly prairie, if I'm not mistaken. I took 2 years of French in college. And then we shut the school down. I didn't have to worry about it. Okay. Well, nice to meet you all. Thanks for coming here. Jim Lipke, Milwaukee Retail Sales. Do you ever get confused with for Marty Feldman? Hi. You really want to meet me, don't you? I can tell. It wasn't that good a line. I hear this all the time, you know. Okay. I do. That's always, I have to make careful which side my hump is on. You know? That's the thing. People say, your hump's on the wrong side, you know, so you make sure it's always on I like it on the left.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be interesting if the guy who played, you know, Igor and Young Frankenstein had his own radio show.
Yeah. The fact that you said Igor means that you're really into this. So it's...
Exactly. And the fact that he's deceased, he'd probably be a very interesting radio show.
Okay, well, and your name is?
Jim.
Jim. And what do you do for a way of life, Jim?
Retail sales.
Well, that's what it said, isn't it? That you retail. What, does it matter what you sell? It could be anything?
Well, it's a big box retailer, so we sell just about everything.
Like anything that will fit in a big box?
Yeah.
Not the little things that fit in a big box.
Right. And a few big things that might fit in a little box.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing you've ever sold in a big box?
Patio furniture set.
We can get all that in a box?
Why not? They can get anything in a box these days.
Thank you for that, Jim.
Thank
there you have it. Intel, the big box retailing. Okay. All right. And he's a big fan of Marty. Gillian Shaw from Hudson, Ohio, now living in Madison, however. He's a veterinary pathologist. Well, that's amusing. What is your favorite summer festival in Madison? Where is Gillian? Is this really important? It's a long way to walk there. I don't know. Do we have a summer festival? I don't celebrate any summer festivals or anything else, for that matter. You mean like the runs and things? Or
Bratfest? Or I don't know. I'm new here. Oh. I'm trying to figure out what I should attend.
Well, there are Bratfests and Beer Fests and Brat and Beer Fests.
Are there any really unique
ones? Beer and Beer Fests. And then there's one Brat and Brat Fest.
Cheese Fest?
Cheese Brat and Beer Fest. There's that. then we're into June by then.
Cows?
Cow Beer Froth Beer and Fest.
Okay, great.
Oh, it's hard to choose. There's so much to choose from.
I see.
I sit at home with a beer and just watch people pass by my door.
Okay, I see.
Another fest, I say to myself.
Okay.
Okay?
All righty.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Well, yeah, I come from a Jewish background. We don't drink during our festivals except Passover. Passover is a nice festival. You should. Have you tried that?
But I just missed it.
You just missed it?
Right.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Oh, it's... Okay. Are you Egyptian?
No.
That's a whole different thing then. I think we should invite Egyptians to Passover. I always wanted to do that because I hate, you know what I hate about the whole thing? All those vermin and floods and smiting of the firstborn, except if it was Clayton, it was all right, but didn't like that part. I say, invite an Egyptian to Passover. I think that would have been so cool. Let's start the healing. Start the healing. What?
Peace and justice.
Peace and justice.
Hi.
Not just because you had that on your T-shirt. Is that so you'll remember it?
No, actually, I designed it.
Yeah, it's very nice. Show your peace and justice T-shirt. Peace and justice.
Kevin Maul.
I didn't ask. What's your name, though?
Yours is Michael Feldman.
I know. It's not Marty. And what's new, Kevin?
I'm an artist and do some art, but I also do mostly metal sculpture.
Do you?
So if you want to check out my website, www.mostlymetalsculpture.com.
Did you say www.mostlymetalsculpture.com?
That's it.
Okay. And then what sort of things do you do? What's your motif for your...
I'm a metal sculptor. I do a lot of welding, but I also have foundry equipment and do some things in aluminum and bronze.
But I mean, what sorts of things are there when it's all done? Is it abstract? Is it conceptual?
No, I do worded pieces. The longest worded piece that I did is, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, and these the homeless. Tempest tossed to me, I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
This is all one piece, words?
Yes, it is.
Wow, that's a pretty big piece.
It is. It took me months to make that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where is it now?
It's up in my studio up near Baraboo, which is where I live.
Yeah. Well, we'll check that out. What was that website again?
MostlyMetalSculpture.com.
Sounds good.
Nice thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Cool. That's pretty cool. What?
Time for a
is
quiz.
Is that you, Arnold?
Excuse you, Mike.
Excuse yourself. Thanks to his middle management, he can do anything.
I didn't do it. Somebody else
where is
did
the,
it.
Where is the thing? Where's the
it
horn?
Doesn't work. It's broken. Oh. Look.
Well, what? See? Did you just squeeze it?
It doesn't more make air any noise.
Well, what yeah was that noise I heard?
It was a thing.
Oh, somebody in the booth.
You yeah got one in the booth?
Yeah.
They're doing soundtracks in the booth
what,
again.
You know what that means.
That's
though,
Aubrey,
right?
Aubrey with indigestion is what that is. All right, so anyhow, we're going to just go ahead here and get someone to play the quiz. But first, we have to know who can and cannot participate in that quiz. Yeah, I need you to come up here if you could. Yes, work your way either way. It's shorter that way. It's shorter that way. You got to go through all the prime timers if you go this way. And they don't yield an inch, believe me. You don't want to go through them. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, you are?
Dave Atkins.
Dave, are you from around here, Dave?
Well, I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Technically, I'm from Bellevue, which is a suburb of Green Bay.
Oh, Bellevue. And it's a mental hospital as well, isn't it?
I think so.
Bellevue. I'm going to give this to you, Dave, and I'm going to get out of your way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, I say it is an Apple Watch with a Mickey Mouse app. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done, Dave. You got a future in this, Dave. No, I don't want that. It's already used. That was good. Did a very good job under tense circumstances. Now, the hands of those of you who want to raise them to indicate an interest. Well, we've given you enough time, haven't we? Come on, let's give someone else a chance. You've had the whole show. Like this gentleman here, who's been sitting patiently. Yeah, good choice? Okay. Come on. Your wife or girlfriend thought it was a good choice, too. Yeah, she's both. Wow, that's cool. How does that work, then? You are?
Tom Huber.
Todd?
Tom.
Tom, how are you?
Very well.
And you from around here, Tom?
Madison.
That's here. That's here. Had to think about that, though, huh, Tom?
Yes, I've been from other places, too.
Oh, yeah, I know we all have, really, I guess. But, Tom, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I've been listening since 1992. Been here 3 years and only recently realized there are live people doing the show, not just voices coming out of a box.
That's a good reason. Walk this way, Tom Huber. Is it Huber? Huber? Like Huber. So Huber is a big name in Wisconsin, right? A lot
yes,
of Hubers.
It is.
And Huber Law.
Huber Beer.
Huber Beer and Huber Law. Okay, and are you related to those Hubers?
Not at all.
The beer or the law?
Nope.
Hubers? No. It must be down the line somewhere because... Well, somewhere. Huber is a very common name maybe, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do these days, Tom?
I'm a guest neurologist at Meritor Hospital here in Ann Arbor.
Oh. Did you work on me?
Do
you remember shoving something
down
the throat of a guy who looked like me?
Very possibly. Looked like you, yeah.
You might have. Now that you mention it, you look familiar, but I was passing out, and I just saw a guy that looked like a Huber.
Oh, okay.
And put the thing down because I had a little throat problem.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. Is that what you do down
yeah,
there?
That's what I do, yeah. You're
at Meritor. Was that Meritor? You don't remember me? I can't believe you don't remember me. I'm kind of hurt, really. A guy shows a thing down your throat like that and looks for, I don't know what, it was on TV I saw, but then I passed out.
I can only
out
remember you with your permission, or according to laws.
Oh, you can't? But you do, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. You did a very good job. And all right. How are things on? What do you do for kicks, Tom? Are you a sportsman?
No, we go. We're going to go bicycle riding after this.
Really? First time ever?
No. More than once.
You've done it more than once? Do you have a, what do you have, like a Schwinn, a really good Schwinn or something like that?
So you have a Vaya, which is a Salsa. Salsa is the company. Vaya is the bike.
Vaya con Dios bike?
Something like that.
Yeah. That sounds pretty dangerous. I don't know. I got a bike that's called Vaya. A Vaya, is, where is that Vaya from?
No, it's the bike is called a, I'm blanking on it.
That's all right. It's a Vaya.
Yeah, it's just the name of the bike. The company is Salsa.
Salsa?
Salsa, yeah.
And where is it made?
Somewhere in the U.S. I think.
Have you ever been on this bike before, or do you actually have it?
A couple times, yeah.
Are you making this up as we
yes,
go
I
along?
Yes, I am making it up.
Okay. Do you do a lot of biking, though? I mean.
Pretty much, yeah, when it's warm. In the wintertime, yeah. I don't.
Okay. Well, Tom, I'd like to talk to you more. I can talk to you all day, Tom. I want to find out a little more what happened when I passed out in that situation.
No, all the things you said.
Yeah. Pretty much the same. And then, so someone out there plays along. How does that work down there, Mike?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, yeah. They're going to pick up a phone pick and a phone. Dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NOW or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And uh-huh. Answer this qualifying question.
Okay, the question is, how old was the beloved giant Agave who died in an Ann Arbor greenhouse? This is possibly the world's oldest agave. But you're just, what? What'd you say?
I just read about it, but I didn't pay close attention.
I wasn't speaking to you. So you shouldn't feel, you're Mrs. Huber? Or are you the girlfriend? Oh, you're both, okay. Was it her show all of a sudden? Is she like that at home?
Yes.
Yeah, how old was the beloved giant agave who died in Ann Arbor greenhouse? The seeds, though, are growing. No, so life goes on. Don't despair. Rick's on the east side of Springfield, Missouri, in his car. Hey, Rick.
Yep.
How are you?
Good.
What are you doing there? Are you casing the joint for a hold up or something?
Shh. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
What are you parked in front of there?
Actually, I'm motoring back to my house after stopping at a garage sale.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got two extremely large Kandinsky-esque prints.
Really?
That were nicely framed. Yes, a friend of mine owns a resale shop on the west side of Springfield, and I've gotten some artwork in the past from him, and I know he was having a clearance sale at his house, so I figured I'd motor on by and take a look, and I snagged some wonderful things.
You think they're genuine Kandinsky? I know he went through a Springfield period.
Yeah, but it's not widely known. They're not. They're more Kandinsky-esque. So they're suggestive of Kandinsky.
Yes. So. Okay. Say no more. How old was the bereaved giant agave that died in Ann Arbor? Pretty old one.
I'm going to guess 287 years old.
No, you're really wrong. It's embarrassing how wrong you are, Rick. Sorry.
I know they're long-lived. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't think they get to be more than 80 years old, something like that. You want to change? Want to change your vote?
Can I change it to let's say 93 years old?
No, you're still wrong, man. Thanks, though. Thanks. Laura's on the line, though, from Salem, Wisconsin. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, I'm talking to Michael Feldman. How are you? What a beautiful sunny day. I think it's about 50 to 75 years old. Not you.
That's
guy.
Right. You're right about all of that. Especially me. Okay, Laura, this is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Laura.
You're a team right now. You know how it works, Laura?
I think I do.
Well, I'll tell you the various categories. Here they are.
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Laura, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Science, please.
Science, please. If you want to grow new hair, should you A, stand on your head, B, lather on topical steroids, or C, just pluck it?
Is Tom bald?
No, he's got a nice head of hair. Very nice head of hair. It's the last thing you see when you go on there.
How do you do it? How do you do it, Tom? Do you stand on your head?
Definitely not.
Or just
okay, what are the other two?
Well, it's not really steroids, but it's
or just pluck it.
I would say pluck it because it's going to come back.
Pluck it is right.
Hard.
Yes, very good, Laura. Okay, how many is that then?
That is one right and zero wrong.
What's left there, right?
You know, we should stop right now. We'd be winners.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have left current events. People.
Finally found a job for you, Mike. This is so great.
I can count to at least four. Okay. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or odds and ends?
How about school?
School. Okay.
School.
That's what he said. All right, school. A suggested solution for an unexplained occurrence is called a what?
Theory. No. A suggestion. Oh, wait, this is Tom's question. Whew.
What was it?
No, you both have to answer him. A suggested solution for an unexplained occurrence.
Coincidence.
It's posited as a what?
Posited a suggested occurrence.
You know, in science.
Serendipitotus.
Serendipitotus.
Oh, it's multiple choice, right?
No, it's you should know this. Oh. It's from school.
I know. I just.
When
took
in
my
science, when you're
my,
doing a scientific investigation, what do you start with?
A hypothesis.
That's it. Hypothesis. Okay. All right. There you go. Very good.
Oh, we made it harder than we had. Okay.
Two right and zero wrong.
That's
the ones
right.
that are left.
You win the quiz. Yeah. Congratulations. Because you were so entertaining. Okay.
And the prizes are, Tom, you'll open the grilling season with a 5-pound bag of genuine Kickapoo John's Lump Charcoal. No additives, no coal, no chemicals, no petroleum products or binders from John Gibbs and Rick Nickel. And then give your dog style for a springtime walk with a tie-on Daisy Bandana from Stellaware.com. Read the book that's probably not on Governor Scott Walker's bedside stand, Imagine Living in a Socialist USA. Edited by Francis Golding, Debbie Smith, and Michael Stephen Smith from Harper Perennial, and savor true blue, red-blooded American music like Saturday Night Waltz and El Salon Mexico on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. And Laura, you can start the day every day with a What Do You Know audience like they did today with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee. I'm sorry, I'm losing it. And relax the afternoons drinking smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. We know beans about coffee. And then Trip the Light Fantastic to the music of Take Me Out to the Polka or Dunch Hornpipe on the CD Let's Kiss by Brave Combo from Dentone Records. Exercise your mind with 5-Minute Mysteries, 11 Challenging Whodunits to test your powers of deduction in an autographed copy by author Jack Pachuta from MysteriesOnTheNet.com, and put some mystery on your table with Kate White's Mystery Writers of America Cookbook from Quirk Books. Congratulations to both of you.
Here comes the charcoal.
Michael, thank
Megan,
you
bring
so
in the
much.
Charcoal. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Hang on, make sure you get that. Thanks for playing, Laura.
That's
thanks
amazing.
Very much.
Thank
bye.
You.
Good to
hey,
see you.
Hey, Milwaukee area Feldman fans. What Do You Know returns to the historic Caps Theater on Saturday, April 25th. Guests include Mary Tom Barrett, Sam Yanis, and Mike Romans. Click over to notmuch.com for more.
Yeah.
And time's running out to enter Michael's
got
longest fan contest. So share your story now. Details are to enter are at notmuch.com.
Oh, yeah.
Michael
good.
Feldman's What Do You Know was produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
You nailed it, Mike. You nailed it. You left nothing to the imagination.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from PRI, or from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, singer-songwriter Joe Pug takes the stage. Plus, thanks for the memos and more from the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, a man who thinks strapping an actual apple to his wrist is funny, Michael Feldman.
Say what?
Strapping an actual wrist to your...
What'd you say?
Your apple to your wrist. Did I say it wrong?
I actually tried to do it. I actually tried to do it. It's really hard to strap an apple to your wrist.
Yeah, but it's good eating if you can do it.
It is. If you're ever hungry, you got an apple on your wrist, you know, which actually makes it useful as opposed to the Apple Watch. Anyhow, so, you know, each week at this time, I read actual memos. What, are you giving notice? Was that your notice? Okay, sorry.
I thought you were going to say, but this week.
But this week what?
We're not going to or something. I don't know. I thought Joe was.
Why would I say that? Of all
we have a musical guest. I thought.
We have a musical guest, and he'll keep. He's not going anywhere. He'll still be musical when we get to him. Okay. Still be our guest. So the memo, that's a little sparse here. We got to start sending in these memos, friends. So if you have a memo or if you can hack someone's memo base, send that to us. That's fine. Hack us and just send that over from their base because we need a lot of memos here. You know, there's a lot of memos, like a whole tradition of memos. Now, look, at this is not even a memo. This is found on a vending machine in the break room. It reads as follows. It's a thing that they plaster on a vending machine. It says, Diet Coke and Sprite are going stale. Do we want to switch out to a different flavor soda? Please list your opinion below. There's two opinions. One is Diet Pepsi, and the other one is wine coolers. So you know this is a summer in Wisconsin. Okay. And then there's restroom memos. I don't know. You want to hear any restroom memos?
I do.
Here, this is comments. Good afternoon, everyone. So that's a nice way to begin a memo. That's a good start. It has come to my attention that several individuals are carrying extensive conversations on their cell phones while in the women's restroom on a daily basis. This is occurring on all three floors of the building. Please remind your staff to use proper bathroom etiquette. How does he know that? Please remind your staff to use proper bathroom etiquette and refrain from talking on their cell phones while in the crapper, in the restroom. You know, it seems to me that's the least offensive thing that would be happening in a restroom. Someone talking on the... I'd rather hear that, frankly.
Good point.
Good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your kind attention to this request. Isn't that nice? How does he know it's going on simultaneously all three floors in the women's restroom on a daily basis? This is a paranoid schizophrenic or something. All right, that wasn't very good. Let's try this one. Staff. Oh, a subject, floor issue. Staff, go in. I have noticed the restroom floors seem to never look clean, and I believe the issue is similar to what we experienced a couple of years ago. I wish I'd thought to mention it earlier. I know the cleaning staff are doing their best to keep up, but residue from the air freshener spray builds up on the floors and walls when it is oversprayed. I believe this is especially evident in the handicap stall in, on both walls and the floors. He blames it on the handicapped, apparently. This is the lowest form of memo. When using the spray deodorizer in the restroom, please spray it straight up into the air or into the trash can, one time only. While it's going on, you can always run an arm over it. Hopefully we'll see some improvement, and the cleaning contractor can get the floors back in good shape. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much for those memos. Where can they send the memo?
Well, they can send memos if you have one you want to send to whatdoyouknow at WPR.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
So, you know, if you go on the web and download Joe Pug's free music, which you're going to do, let's face it, it's free, and then you get on his mailing list forever. Because I'm getting all this mail from him, from Joe Pug. Hey, this is a salutation. I'll keep this short and sweet. We're currently speeding across the great state of Wisconsin in a 2001 Chevy Express toward our next show. We're about halfway through our U.S. tour and have lots more news to share, including our date at the Newport Folk Festival, a bunch of European dates later this spring, premiere of the first video for the... So it's like, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me like that. Tell me all this. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us, Joe Pug, right now on our stage, in the middle of his European and all his spamming. How are you, man?
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
You're a mastermind, not only as a singer-songwriter, but as a promoter, right?
I just want to let you know that that was a personal email that I typed out.
There were no personal references. How was Sandy? How are the girls?
I Facebooked those to you, all the personal references. So.
Did you call me Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love it. This is very good, Joe. How are you? You work more than anyone. You know, the person that worked, I knew Jonathan Richman some years ago. And he worked like every night. He had his father's Buick, I want to say Oldsmobile, but it wasn't his father's. It was his father's Buick. And he threw all his guitar, you know, his Fenders or whatever was in there, Stratocaster, and a bat and a ball, because he used to hit pop flies to himself and run across the field and catch them. He was really kind of crazy.
Pretty fast.
But he worked like every night. And you almost are working every night somewhere
in
America.
Yes, we work because we love it and out of necessity, even though the record industry is booming right now. We make most of our money on the road, playing theaters in some towns, playing bars in other towns. In Madison, we play a bar. In Chicago, we go to play a theater. And it's a great way to make a living, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Are you making a living?
I'm making a living.
Are you comfortable, Joe?
I'm always comfortable, yeah. I feel great. I've always felt great.
How do you get in this? We have a minivan, is that what you said?
No, it's a 2000. This is very important. A 2001 15-passenger Chevy Express. Our next Jiffy Lube oil change sticker says we're going to be changing the oil at 298,000 miles.
Yeah, pretty good. And who is this we you keep referring to?
I travel around with a four-piece band.
You do? Mm-hmm. You do, yeah. That's cool. And it's an amazing story, though, really, because you were at UNC, whatever, you were, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill, and you quit school and decided to become a carpenter.
Yeah.
In Chicago, mm-hmm. And along the way, on the trip there, somehow you became a folk singer.
I did. You know, it's funny you mentioned I dropped out of school. At one point last year, I was traveling with the band, and everyone, one at a time in the van, we realized that everyone had dropped out of college. And there was kind of like
unusual
silence.
For musicians.
Yeah, exactly. There was silence for a moment, and then the bass player was like, yeah, and we're pretty much exactly where our parents told us we would be.
It's been going great, though. Going great guns. The new LP is, you know what it is. It's Windfall.
Windfall.
Mm-hmm. That's out, and that's out right now. And you got something for us right here.
Yeah, this is a song called Burn and Shine from Windfall. Never had enough to be the favorite son, and so I never had enough to disappoint no one. Everything I ever done, it never came too much. Maybe then I could have said that I was just washed. I'm a brother who's a soldier, he was straight and true. Mama said he was a member of the chosen few. But I guess he never felt he ever got his due. He wrote a note and put a rope around his necklace, Jim. Let them burn and shine, let them burn and shine. Let that last long dance just be yours and mine. Let them spin their wheels, turn their pages, break their knives on the rock of ages, baby, we'll be fine. Let them burn, burn and shine. Well, no one ever whistled when you walked by, because you never caught the corner of the public eye. When you left town, you got one goodbye from the sign at the Frederick County line. Oh, your sister was a looker, she was tall and wild. She had a star-crossed lover on a moonlit mile. Then she met a politician and she had his child. It takes the bottom of a bottle just to make her smile. Let them burn and shine, let them burn and shine. that last long dance. Just be yours and mine. Let them spin their wheel, turn their pages, break their knives on the rock of ages. Baby, we'll be fine. Let them burn, burn and shine.
Thanks. Very nice. Now, I'm looking at the schedule here, and you have a day off after Columbus at the Rumba Cafe before going to Fayetteville, Arkansas. So that's just travel time, though. That's a bit of it.
Well, we got a little bit of travel time that day. The drummer that we're playing with lives in Ohio, so I think we're going to take him by to see his folks that day, just to give you specifics that you absolutely did not need.
No, I love this. Yeah. Is the stuff I love. I live for this, honestly. Then I'm just seeing that after you're in Amsterdam somewhere, is that the real Amsterdam?
That's the real. That's
oh, yeah.
The real, not,
you have a day off.
Fake Amsterdam, yeah.
You're in Amsterdam on June 10th, mm-hmm. and on June 12th, you're in Richmond, Virginia. So what's with that day off? You're doing absolutely nothing on June 11th.
The steam freighter that we're taking across the Atlantic.
You're on a tramp steamer?
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be a song. That's a great thing for a song. Yeah, where does the inspiration come from? Just
for that song? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when I first put up my first album 7 or 8 years ago, inspiration just could kind of come from wherever, and it could be very spontaneous. But then once you start doing this for a living, and I mean this in the best way possible, but it gets like a lot less magical in some ways, which is really important, I think, for creating decent art. Yeah. And so it's much more when I'm off the road. Wake up and make a pot of coffee and write bad songs until you write a good one, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Is inspiration really that you just don't want to go back to carpentry?
Hey, man. You know, carpentry isn't so bad. The problem I had with carpentry is the same problem I had with this show, which is I had to wake up at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. What's the point of that? They're probably still in their houses at 7:30. What are you going to do there?
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous. Out of the question. What do you got for us this time?
This is a song also from the album. This is called If Still It Can't Be Found. There's a road I have known I could always find. If I walked ahead, I could look behind. If I fell behind, I could always know. If it's not around this corner, it's around the next. If it's not beyond this river, it's beyond the rest. And if still it can't be found, it's probably for the There's a hand I have known I could always hold. Through the night so long, through the day so fair. If I lost my grip, I would not despair. If it's not around this corner, it's around the next. If it's not beyond this river, it's beyond the rest. And if still it can't be found, it's probably for the best. So I'll keep walking on and often. You can hear the echoes of my steps. If it's not around this corner, it's around the next. If it's not beyond this river, it's beyond the rest. And if still it can't be found, it's probably for the best. If still it can't be found, it's probably for the best.
There's a road I have known I could always find.
Thank you.
Joe Pug.
You're listening to You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
What? I'm in the audience then, right? What does it say on your sheet?
It says you're in the audience.
No, I have a sheet, too.
I think it says
you're in the audience. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
It says a lot of weird things on this sheet, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, the pathologist, we had that. And then we had Karen Deemer. Deemer Tonsi? Oh, yeah, it looks like a C, though. You didn't leave any little thing under the... You know, a C is a thing, and then it usually has a little thing under it if it's an E. Okay. You're not used to the name. That's not your name, right? Is that his name?
That's my husband's name.
Is that your husband?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. So you're not used to writing that out, and you probably put a C in there by mistake. It looks like Tonsi. Okay. Just so you know. Anyhow. Any suggestions on how to make my last year of my 40s? How to make it? Oh, okay. Last year of your 40s, and how do you make it?
Memorable.
Like I was going to remember the last year of my 40s? Speaking of memorable, well, I can only tell you what I did, and that is I went out and I saw the monkeys.
That's what they're calling it now, huh?
Yeah. Where are you? Okay, how are you? Yeah, so I would say to you, go out and see the monkeys, because they're not going to be together forever.
Okay, I actually have seen the monkeys. So, but I thought I would start here. This would make my last year.
No, this is not gonna. This is not gonna do it.
No. Okay.
Don't remember this. You'll try to blot this out.
Okay.
You can do the thing that people hang from bridges and bounce around, that sort of thing.
No, I'm not a thrill seeker.
Well, do you have anything?
We're going to Germany. Does that count?
Germany is a good thing.
Yeah. This summer.
Yeah. Will you still be 39 this summer?
I will still be 49. I just turned 49.
I see you're actually through with your 40s. Well, that's getting serious.
This is my 49th year. I turned
40. Okay. I didn't realize it was this serious.
A whole year of yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, I didn't see the monkeys when I was 49. Gosh. No siree.
Okay. Well, if you think of anything, let me know.
Okay. I'm going to work on it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. If I can remember anything, it'll be memorable. I don't know, what should she do? Anyone have a suggestion what Karen should do for it to make it memorable in a hurry? Anything? No, I don't mean you should make it memorable for her. Oh, God. People who come to this show. What is the best way to keep a secret from your husband? This is probably not a very good way to start it. You know, put it on a card and ask a national audience the best way to conceal something from your husband. Where is Melody? See, you're in the same group here.
We're a fun group.
Oh, you need counseling. This entire group should go into counseling together.
No.
She's got a midlife crisis.
She doesn't know what to do in Madison.
Is this your husband?
This is my husband.
Doesn't that offend you?
I'm a little worried.
What is it that you want to conceal from him?
I have tried to birthday presents, anniversary presents. They are always ruined. And lots of times by family.
So that would be these people here who she's in her 40s crisis. And
I bought these tickets as a surprise. I used my parents' credit card. I had it shipped to a different address. And the day of his birthday when he was going to open the present, he explained, "We're going to go to Michael Feldman with you."
Well, it's disappointing on so many levels that I can't even begin to approach this whole thing. This is what you wanted for your birthday? No.
it happens with every gift.
Every gift, I understand that. But what did you actually want for your birthday?
Experiences, so that's why we usually go to... No.
She wants experiences and you want experiences, so can we work something out within the group?
We can try,
All right, and your name is?
Jason.
Jason and
Melody.
Melanie, and you are
Fred, Tony.
Fred, Tony, and Melody. Okay. Karen. Okay. You're welcome. I solved their problem. Anything I can do for you? Any problems you want me to solve?
Everything's good.
With family counseling for some reason.
It moved me to tears. Oh, yeah, we do have a problematic 12-year-old.
I can't help in that.
Oh, then that's our biggest problem right now.
Killing his oats, is he?
Oh, yeah. Testing his limits. Sassiness, a lot of sassiness.
What do kids say when they're being sassy these days?
Everything I know is wrong, so.
Yeah, what do you know? You always ask that question. Yeah. Not much. Yes. Before I had kids, I knew stuff. Now I know nothing.
Does he actually accuse you of being stupid?
Putting words in his mouth, trying to tell him what to do.
Putting soaps in his mouth?
You could come over and try that.
No, we never did that. We never did that either. Nothing helps.
No, no.
Grow up, though.
The more you yell at him, the more he yells at you for yelling at him. So what do?
You got to use treats. I'm doing dog training. I have the same thing. I have a puppy now, puppy training. And you keep some treats in your pocket here, little things. And then if he does something good, then you reward him.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the carrot and the stick, but there is no carrot big enough. And if I get up too big of a stick, well, someone gets called and.
Behavioral training is doggy training.
Yeah, we have two golden retrievers.
Come to a doggy class. Or get a dog if you have to, you know, so you got an excuse for going.
We have two dogs, and what works for them doesn't work for him.
Have you tried it, though, really? You can get him to sit. If he sits, give him a treat.
He yells at you for yelling at him to sit.
If he doesn't yell at you, you give him a treat. Good not yelling.
All right, I'll report back.
This works with all species. I'm a firm believer in positive reinforcement. I just never get any. If two falcons are beginning to nest, should a third falcon try to disrupt the party? Well, I know about the answer to all these questions today. It's really, if two falcons are beginning, who has two falcons that are mating and being bothered by another falcon? Well, you do, sir? Yeah. Get you stand up a little bit. All right. And you are?
Dave Smith.
You can stay right over here. It's okay. Dave Smith?
Yeah. Just spring is here, and I saw it on a show. Two falcons were all near nesting, and then another one tried to come in.
Try to do what?
Disrupt the nesting.
To nest with one of the others?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Or just to prevent them from nesting?
Either way.
Was it a sour grapes sort of thing, or was it?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
An attraction that has no name.
What can we say? Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is not happening in your yard, right?
No, no, no. I did see some ducks displaying, too.
Here. Sorry?
And I saw some ducks that have been.
Been what?
Displaying springtime rituals.
What were they doing?
Nesting, I guess, yeah.
I mean, were they actively nesting?
No.
And repeatedly nesting?
No.
Was there a lot of flapping of wings?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's spring.
Did you try to intervene?
No.
It's all right, that's what they're doing. It's a ritual.
Right, ritual, yeah.
I'm sorry, I really can't help you. I thought I could, but thank you for bringing that up. There's mating going on, so if you have a problem with that, I would stay indoors for the next 30 days. Thank you. No, really, you don't have to applaud that. How do I prevent squirrels from raiding my feeder? Well, what we've done, we've put birth control pills in our feeder. Now, this will not have an immediate effect. But if you wait a few years, their generation, you know, they'd love to be at 3 years old, maybe, a squirrel. So they should be eliminated within, you know, within 5 years, I would say. And then you won't have the problem. Of course, if the birds get to the feeder, then you got a problem. Yeah. Yes. And you'll have more of those hawks or falcons trying to interrupt mating. Okay, I guess that's about it, really. Anyone else who needs to get on the air now with something? Because a lot of people come here with a message they want the world to know, and not this show, not today, but just something that you have something, I can see that, just by looking at you. I don't know what it is. Probably chemical. But yeah, stand up. What is it that's on your mind?
Nothing. Nothing's really on my mind. You know?
Well, what are you thinking about these days?
Well, I'm a teenager. I don't think about anything.
What's your name?
Sam Meese.
Sam? How are you?
Good.
Are you a teenager here in town? Or?
Oregon, so just a little south of here.
Is it different being a teenager in Oregon than it would be if you were here?
I don't think so. I don't know.
You know people from here?
A couple people, I guess. Yeah.
Seem like they're thinking about the same nothing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sam, I guess there wasn't anything.
No, not really.
Sam Meese. He's an honest guy. I like him. He's going to go far with that honesty. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz because we got to do something in this hour. And I don't know. Was there someone else who wanted to play? I saw a bunch. You keep volunteering. And I... What?
I've been waiting for years. I've got to try.
You've been waiting for years to do this?
Yeah.
All right. Come on. Come on. I've been waiting for years. What?
That's not my real reason.
What?
Well, my real reason for wanting to do it is because I brought 26 other people with me that might know the answer.
Okay, come on up anyway. I don't care what your reason is. You got to be careful on these steps because they are ridiculous. Did Huber drink this water? Huh? Did you? Huh?
No.
No, you didn't? Okay. There you go. That's perfectly fine.
Thank you.
Perfectly fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. And your name is?
Sherry Karras.
Sherry
Karras. And I'm actually from Minocqua, not St. Germain.
Oh, are you?
But it's next
Does that work out better for you, Minocqua?
Well, my husband lives in Minocqua, so yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. What have you got to do with St. Germain? Anything?
I'm in the Primetimers.
I know that, but do you have any business in St. Germain whatsoever?
No, I retired and I joined the Primetimers.
What did you retire from?
I'm a nurse.
Oh, really?
In cardiac rehab.
No kidding. Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
Was a nurse in cardiac rehab.
Yeah, yeah. And now you're just having a wingding of a time, traveling all over.
I should have retired 30 years ago.
Yeah. Me too, really. Then I wouldn't be.
You got to think about it. What? No, don't. I enjoy your show. Don't think about retiring.
No, don't think about it. It thinks about me, but I don't think about it. So, okay, Sherry. And then do you do other things as well besides just travel with the Primetimers?
Well, my husband and I, we have a small camper, so we like to go camping.
Oh, you have a small camper?
It's called a road trek, so it'll fit in a regular parking space.
Is it only about 27 feet?
It's not even that. I think it's 24 or something.
Oh.
It's really tiny.
That doesn't sound tiny to me. Well, yeah, the driving compartment takes up, about 8 feet?
That's right.
So it still leaves you, maybe 16 feet of living space back there.
Well, yeah. The aisle is probably, how many inches is that?
Yeah, but it's just the two of you.
Yes.
So you've been down the aisle before, anyhow.
Have we what?
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything. So, and then where do you go on these little trips?
Mostly local, because my husband grooms the snowmobile trails in the wintertime, so we can't go south
He does?
In the
He's a groomer
time.
Of the trails?
Mm-hmm, yeah, for the Newtown Snow Fleas, which is another town up in that area.
The Newtown Snow Freaks?
Snow Fleas.
Snow Fleas?
Little tiny bugs that are actually in the snow.
Yeah, I've heard that. Mm-hmm. It's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is so fascinating. There's so much that comes up that you don't expect in this kind of a conversation, especially with Sherry. How does he groom the trails? Or what does he get out there with a broom?
Oh, they have this great big huge groomer, and then there's a drag behind it. And it's got
a groomer and a drag.
They groom at night, and they have all these lights and flashers. I mean, it's like a...
Yeah.
I don't
so
know
then
how
they just go from
it.
Tavern to tavern and
no.
Groom.
Not no. when you're grooming.
No, I don't mean they would be stopped there, but they'd have to get because that's where everyone's going,
well,
right?
There's state trails.
Isn't that the point of snowmobiling?
We don't own a snowmobile. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I guess you don't know that, but I would think, you know.
He says he doesn't need one because he has this $150,000 groomer that he rides around in every night, so he doesn't need a snowmobile.
He goes out every night in the groomer?
Pretty much, yeah. They got to keep
There's
the trail
There's a thankless
smooth.
Task.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
They got to keep the trail smooth for
Who pays for his, you know?
It's volunteer.
Gas.
With a club, and we have fundraisers because we're not, how
how do I say it?
Well, how do you feel about your husband's out grooming the trails every night, or says he is? That's on grooming some trails.
Well, I have gone through them a couple times.
I don't groom them. No one's going to groom them. I'm going to bed.
That's where I go when he goes out.
Yeah. Where do you go?
I go to bed when he goes out.
Really? Why don't you use the trails out there? Just follow him, see if he's actually grooming those trails.
I'm sure I have been out a couple times, yeah. But he knows every inch of those trails.
I bet. So, and where do these trails go through? Well, this is a national?
Pretty much the woods. National Forest.
National
and,
Forest. Which one is that there?
Pardon me?
Which forest is that there?
We have the Shawamigan.
Shawamigan. Famous Shawamigan.
Northern Highlands.
Wow.
American Legion.
Has their own forest?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's great. Very interesting. Well, you know how this quiz works, I guess?
I do. I don't know if they
do. Look at this. Someone's on here from Boston. What are the odds on that? Hey, Brian.
Hello.
You know Sherry?
I don't.
Hi, Brian. I know you now.
Yeah.
Well, you asked the question, though, Michael.
Well, I know. I just thought it was pretty funny. He's from Boston. That's far from you, is it?
I don't know. I'm from North.
Yeah, well, Boston's up there, isn't it?
No, Boston's down this way.
Okay, never mind. So, anyhow, someone else, what?
That was kind of horrible,
what?
Wasn't it?
I put him on hold. I didn't
hang
up on
him. Oh, you put him on hold. Oh, okay. I thought you just hung
I'm
up on
callous,
it.
I'm not callous, Mike.
That would have been awful.
I'm not middle management. I care about people's feelings. What? Oh, okay. So, you know, someone out there plays along with you, and we have a question. Yeah, you're supposed to say this part.
If people want to play the quiz, and all they have to do is pick up a phone, like our friend in Boston, dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question, right? That's just what you do. Yeah.
That was a very Lutheran take on WACK-NOW, I'll tell you that.
Why, thank you.
Like you had to say it, and it was precise.
Yes. Well,
There was no feeling behind it.
I like to enunciate. What can
I say? You do. Even as
I'm
a kid?
An enunciator.
Did you enunciate as a kid?
No, not at all. I grew up in Indiana, so we don't enunciate there.
They don't?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so someone out there, and here's the question. Wait a minute. Here it is. All right, you should know this if you heard this before, if you're listening earlier. Under new Wisconsin law, how many liquor stores will you have to hit to get a free shot? So it's they don't give you a shot. It's just one. You have to go to more than one. The question is how many under new Wisconsin law. So I bet a lot of guys are going to be doing that tonight. See how many they can get to. All right, so let's go to Brian. He's in Mauston, Wisconsin, which is around
Three.
Here. Hey, Brian.
Three.
Huh?
Three.
What'd you say?
Three.
Three?
Yes.
Three what?
Three. You have to go to three stores.
Yes, you're right, Brian. You didn't give me a chance to even ask the question. That's pretty good. Where are you, in Boston, then?
Well, actually, I'm at Linden Station right now.
You're in the station right now?
I'm coming back from Reedsburg. They have a Vet Fest run down there. They've raised $80,000 over 5 years for veterans.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yay.
Fantastic. And that's going on today?
Anyway, I just finished the race.
Oh, you just finished the race.
I'm on my way home, so I pulled over in Linden Station on the way home.
Yeah.
So wanted to give them a little plug. They're doing a great job there.
Linden Station, yeah, that's a great...
No, Reedsburg. So that's best.
Reedsburg is a great place, too. And the butter capital of the world.
That's right.
Reedsburg. And I think, didn't they invent the hamburger? No, that was Seymour. Anyway, so are you tired, Brian? You must be pretty tired.
No, I'm not too bad. It was just a 5K race for me.
Just a 5K race?
Yeah.
I've run 5K maybe in this millennium. No, I don't think so. Last millennium, I probably ran 5K. You're a good runner then, Brian? Do you run a lot?
Not as much as I used to, but no, I like to run.
Yeah.
I'm getting older, so I place in my age divisions because the runners are dropping out. They're fewer my age.
Yeah, literally dropping out. Yeah, Brian, this is Sherry.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Sherry.
You're a team now. You want to chat a little bit just to get a sense of one another?
Sure, you start, Brian.
Oh.
Okay, maybe not. We don't have to chat. Brian, sure, you are a team member. You worked with it. It's collaborative. And we have various categories, have we not, Mike Arnold?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Brian, you pick the first one.
I want to start with odds and ends.
Odds and ends it is. Okay, at Facebook, at the company, at Facebook, users are not actually called users. They are called one of the following. Is it A, jerks, B, stewballs, or C, people? At Facebook.
Do you do Facebook, Brian?
I do Facebook.
Oh, good, I don't. You're on your own.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I don't think people.
Jerks, stewballs, or people?
Well, jerks and stewballs are not too complimentary, so I would go with
no.
people.
I'd
go with people.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, it's stewballs. No, it's jerks. It's people. Yeah. It's people. It's big on people. They're not users, they're people. Okay, so.
One right and zero wrong. Okay. And the categories left are current events, people, places, school, and science.
Jerry?
Oh, I don't think it really matters. All the questions are wacky.
That is not the right attitude for playing. We're not going to let you on the quiz again.
Remember, I've been listening to you for
it.
I've been listening to you for years.
I know, but then why would you critique the quiz? It's like going to church and saying, I don't like this whole Trinity thing. What's with that? You don't do that.
School.
School. Okay, here we go. What is the capital of South Dakota?
Pierre.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's the one. You got that, you can probably get the rest.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Going pretty good here. What's left?
And the left, it's current events, people, places, and science are the ones
that
are
left. Stay with it, just got a short time left. You're doing really good. You're doing really good. Is it back to Brian, isn't it? Yes, Brian.
Let's go with science, I think.
Science, okay.
Ooh.
Will a yellow dotty back turn brown if placed on a coral rubble?
Remember what I said about the questions being wacky?
No.
Can we have a different question?
A yellow?
Yeah. If placed on a coral rubble, will a yellow dotty back turn brown?
I'm going to say yes, because I imagine it's an animal that camouflages itself kind of like a chameleon.
I have no reason to say anything other than that. I would go
You're
with
very
it.
Circumspect.
All right, you 26.
It's a quiz. You got to give answers, even if they're dumb. Or
I've got 26 people that might be smarter than you and I, Brian. Okay, 26, oh, right.
What are they? Okay, well,
let's go back over this.
Them.
Why did you want to play the quiz again? So it's just
a
yes or no.
It's a total guess on my part, but I'll go with Brian.
Why didn't you go into law for an occupation? You would have been a great lawyer, because I haven't understood any of your answers.
You could have made more money in law than nursing, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So you're saying yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes, that's right, yes. Holy cow. Whoa. Well, you've won the quiz, the basic quiz, but they could go
good
on,
job,
couldn't
Brian.
They?
Yes, they could go for the mother load if they wanted to. All they have to do is get how many more?
One.
I forgot the whole thing. Yeah. One more, right?
Yeah. You should listen to the show sometime.
I do listen to the show. It's more nerve-wracking when you're actually up here.
Oh. Okay.
I'll just have you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, if we get one more, you'll get the mother load.
What do you think, Sherry?
You want to go on? For
oh, let's do it, Brian.
Because you lose everything if you get it wrong.
Oh.
All right, they're going for the mother load.
And there are three categories left. Current events, people, and places.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back
would you
to
like
me.
A category, or don't you really care?
which one would you suggest?
I would not. I am the quiz master. That is not my job.
Places. Is that okay, Brian? Places?
That's fine. That's good.
Okay. If your plates on the car say DZ, you're in one of the following places. Is it Congo, Algeria, or Denmark?
Oh.
This should be pretty easy.
What are the three choices? I'm
Congo,
towards
Algeria, Denmark.
If your license plate says BZ.
No, D as D. in dog, Z
oh,
as
D-Z.
In Z.
D as in Denmark. No? The audience is saying no. But they're not telling me
what
else.
It is D as in Denmark, but not necessarily on the plates.
Hmm. What, Congo or where else?
Algeria.
Ever been to either of those, Brian?
I have not. Huh. You're going to have to read the crowd for me there, Sherry.
They're no help.
Here, you want to just do this? Take a...
Yeah, just show me the answer.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Here, you go.
Oh, okay. Brian, what he's doing is
close
he's...
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Okay.
You. Nice okay. ring. Wow, that ring is great.
It doesn't come off.
Yeah, okay. All right, ready, ready? Are you
okay.
ready?
What well, we're doing here, Brian?
Okay.
All right, Brian. He took my finger and we sort of closed my eyes and moved it around and it landed on Congo.
No, it didn't. No.
It landed on Algeria. Well, okay, my finger is big.
Want to try it again?
No, I'm going with Algeria.
Close your eyes.
I'm going with Algeria.
Denmark!
Algeria, Brian!
You're going to break a nail if I do it any harder.
For no logical reason, I'm going with Algeria.
Algeria is right. You won!
Yes, you have won the mother load. So, Sherry, you can welcome the return of our six-legged friends and dress up your spring ensemble at the same time with a handmade Yipes bug pin from Joyce Fritz Studio, and then travel to the Lake Michigan coast to dine on stuff at La Fogata on Sheridan Road in Kenosha. Send out news of your quiz victory on a pair of Greetings from Peoria, Illinois postcards, even if you've never been there, and learn the identities of all six types of quarks in Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. Brian, from Michael's religious instruction for his daughters to the Guinness Method, there's Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the Musical, performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. And then carry around your favorite beverages in a silver stainless steel cat travel mug from the Caterpillar Visitor Center in Peoria. Put the rest of your stuff in a Help Keep Our Lake Superior tote bag from the Bayfield Chamber of Commerce and find out what all the fuss over Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto was about on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff? With post-revolutionary liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much, dear. It was great. Great, Sherry. Brian, hang out. Make sure you get that before you leave there. Okay. Brian's on hold. All right. Well, you feel like playing a little number here?
Sure.
Yeah. What do you feel like playing here?
Oh, we feel like playing.
Why don't you change it up and do something a little different?
We are. It's going to be changed up.
Really?
Completely.
Oh, well, yeah. Isn't that funny? I was just thinking that too.
This is a tune we're going to play it backwards.
No, I mean change it up. You always do that. How about a samba? Remember when we did Kissing the Lips of Love?
Yes.
You do that?
Yeah, this is called Kissing the Lips of Love.
God, we are on the same wavelength. Do you have a town of the week? Because we didn't talk about it.
I do have a town of the week.
Oh, yes, you do?
I do.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Would you like to hear about it?
You know, each week at this time, we honor a town, a village, a burg across the rearranged map of the U.S. with our town of the week. Here is Mike Arnold.
Yes, sporting the famous Picture Rock National Lakeshore, Munising, Michigan, sits on the south bay of Lake Superior.
Where is it?
Munising. There you go. See? All right.
What is
Munising.
It? Munising?
Yeah, Munising, Michigan. You know that. It sits on the south bay of Lake Superior in the Upper Peninsula. It's also the county seat of Alger County, named for the Native
Horatio?
American word for island. Oh. It was originally a Chippewa village with roots back to 1820. It was officially settled in 1855 when the Munising Iron Company purchased the land. A post office was established in 1868, but the town struggled initially.
Why look at me? I wasn't there.
Tongue. It was held afloat by its proximity to the scenic shoreline during the lumber and iron booms. In 1896, following a trip to the city by Timothy Nestor, the post office was firmly established and the town's population sat at about 500. Now, Nestor, along with his boat captain, saw the potential for the area, and it was later officially organized into a city in 1915. One of the earliest settlers, Thomas G. Sullivan, became the town's first mayor. Hmm. His namesake can be found today on Sullivan's Landing, Sullivan Creek, and Sullivan Lake. Today, the town boasts a population of nearly 2,500 and offers plenty of four-season activities for tourism. Mm. You can hike around dozens of picturesque waterfalls, including the Alger Falls, Tannery Falls, and Wagner Falls. You can also mountain bike, camp, and explore the Hiawatha National Forest, kayak the Gitche-Gumee shores, take a historic lighthouse tour, visit the underwater diving preserve, or enjoy the pristine pleasures of Grand Island National Recreation Area. In the winter months, there are plenty of skiing and snowmobile trails to keep you busy. In addition to... that's somewhere in Michigan. In addition to all the activities, you can enjoy... it's in the upper, right? Yeah, exactly. In addition to all those activities, you can enjoy year-round festivals and events, including... yeah, it's on Lake Superior, remember? Right, yeah, it's north. It's on the superior part. No, it's yes. Yeah, it's up a little farther north there. Yeah, that's it. And that is our town of the week. And how do you say it again, everybody? Let's shout the name. Munising, Michigan, right? Round of applause for our town of the week. And thanks also to the audience for helping me with that. I was told to not expect the town of the week to work out today. So,
well, you know, my feelings about the UP is that it should have been the District of Columbia instead of, you know, someplace in Virginia, and they rope off something like that. Because the UP is a special place.
It is. I drive through there every.
Never
every
met summer. A Uper I didn't like. Number one, and you go up there, and it's not everyone. It's nice. And there's not a lot of commercialism. It's people doing their thing and stuff. It's
almost
very nice
like
up there.
Canada.
Yeah, they're almost as nice as Canadians up in the UP. So those Upers are great. So we're Munising is our town of the week right now, and we've got Hillary online from Munising. Hillary, we've been waiting for your announcement. What's it going to be?
Hello.
Hello, what? Hillary.
Yes.
Are you in or are you out?
I'm in.
You're in. Good. Okay. Good. Excellent. About time. You sound much younger on the phone than. Okay, I know you're not Hillary Clinton, but you are in Munising, right? Our town of the week. Are you working right now, Hillary?
I am, yes.
Yeah, what are you working at?
I work at the Elder County Historical Society.
Oh, you do?
Here in Munising. Yeah.
It's open this morning?
It is.
Yeah. What's on display these days?
Well, we have a display right now about wintertime in Munising. So we have some old ice cutting tools and
ice cutting,
ice sacks. Because ice fishing is a really big deal here.
Yeah.
And we have a really big display about Grand Island, which is a really big island right in the bay of Munising.
Yeah. Is it a hands-on kind of thing? Can you actually get out the axe and chop some ice and make a hole in a small...
Not here. No.
Yeah. Is the ice still in the lake up there?
There's a little bit, but it's not safe.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And our historical exhibits there as well, I'm sure. Who are you featuring, like, history-wise, individuals?
We have a little bit about a Native American man named Powers of the Air. Oh. And he was alive in the 1820s when fur traders were passing through. And we have some stuff on him. And we have lots of historic photographs of... So no one in particular, but lots of loggers and people who worked in different industries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those photographs of no one in particular. Those are good.
Yeah.
It's a big logging area. Okay. And then is this like a new job for you, something you just started, or we just get out of school or something?
It's pretty recent. I'm actually the curator for the Historical Society. I've only been working here for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what'd you do before that?
I was going to school. I was going to graduate school.
Yeah. And what were you in graduate school in?
I actually went to grad school in England.
You did?
I did, yeah.
Did that prepare you for Munising, or at least how to say it?
Well, I'm from Munising, so that's why.
You are? That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And you went to England, like, where'd you go?
Norwich.
Norwich, yeah.
Yeah.
And you studied, and what did you study there?
Cultural heritage and museum studies.
Well, how cool. How cool. Yeah. And that was that the plan all along, to come back to Munising and do the curating there?
Not necessarily. No. Everything kind of fell into place when I came home from school.
Yeah.
I was pretty lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. So you are a native Munising-er.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
And can you tell us about the town and some of the spots there that you like to go to or would like to show off to people if they're coming through?
Yeah, well, it's pretty small, but it's really beautiful in the summertime. We have lots of waterfalls, so I always recommend people go check out the waterfalls. There's so many around. Mm-hmm. And go to the beach. If you've never swam in Lake Superior, I think it's something you have to experience because
it's cold.
It's cold.
It's never not cold, right?
Yeah. And I was with someone this past summer who has only ever swum in the ocean, and they went underwater and came back up. Like, oh, my goodness, it's not salty.
Yeah. From out of town. And they came up and they were white, like a salamander, probably, from the cold.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, well, that's great. The spot in town where you'd take us if we were, you know, looking for some stuff to do, where would you go?
Stuff to do. Well, you have to see how a lot of people go on the Picture Docks boat cruises and see Picture Docks. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of shipwrecks. So
shipwrecks are good, but what about Little Libation or, a place to eat?
There's the Falling Rock Bookstore, cafe and bookstore.
Yeah.
They have sandwiches and things, and that's a really nice place to eat. You have to have a pasty, of course.
have to have a what?
A pasty. Our local food up here.
Yeah, that's right, pasty. We call them pasties down here, but that's... Might be something else.
Yeah, that's something else.
No, that's something else. Hillary, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. We're sort of a little short of it here, but thank you so much for taking time to speak with us. We have something for you for being so nice.
Yes, we'll be sending you the Golden Glory of America's Dairyland and a selection of artisanal cheeses made without genetically modified ingredients. Ooh. From Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove cheese.
From actual cows. Thanks, Hillary. Nice speaking with you. Hillary from Munising, our Town of the Week.
And hey, Milwaukee area Feldman fans, What Do You Know returns to the historic Pabst Theater on Saturday, April 25th. Special guests include former Bodine Sam Yanis.
Yeah.
Click over to notmuch.com for more information. And if you're planning your next Madison outing, bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing info and get your tickets today.
Kind of tiring, isn't it?
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Chris Marjack.
Thanks for coming, you guys.
Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director
applauding.
Tom Blaine, with the help from
nice
Audrey
applauding.
Routh and Brad Colbert.
I'm not
Colbert.
Seeing much applauding over here from the... Yeah, come on. Got in here really cheap. Got you the senior discount. At least you can do is applaud a little bit. But thank you all for coming. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Boys in the band. For the boys in the band. Mike Arnold, our announcer. For Hillary back in Munising. Very nice.
Okay. PRI, Public Radio International.